Diane O'Dell was 61, stricken by polio at age 3. Family members unable to get an emergency generator working in time to save her. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Wednesday, May 28th edition of the Calling for Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. We're going to do something kind of interesting here on the broadcast today. We've got a guest that is going to be joining me, but he's going to be joining me during the second half of the program today because my guest is at a conference right now, and he graciously agreed to come on the program during the second half of the program in order to talk about a PDF, a little booklet that he has written about a very, very popular book, and I'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. First, I wanted to let you know right at the top of the broadcast as to what we have planned for tomorrow's broadcast so that you can make preparation, and also sometimes folks are able to listen in the beginning and then not at the end, or sometimes at the end but not at the beginning of the broadcast. So I'll probably announce this a couple times during the broadcast today, but I just want to make sure you're aware of it because I think it's going to be a great interview tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be joined in the studio by Dan Kruver. Dan has been on the radio program before with us, and Dan is with the Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency right here in Greenville, South Carolina. And he has also written a foreword for Joel Beakey's latest book that really is not completely released yet. It's going to be released here, I think, in June, the beginning of June. But it's called Heirs with Christ, Adoption, The Puritans on Adoption. So it takes a look at the subject of Puritan theology, how the Puritans interpreted, how the Puritans spoke about the subject of theology specifically relating to adoption. Now, you may remember, I hope you heard that broadcast. If you didn't, you can go out and listen to the webcast of it. It's out on both of our websites. That's both www.callingfortruth.org and then also www.sermonaudio.com/callingfortruth. On both of those sites, you can go out and listen to the interview we did with Dan on the subject of the theology of adoption. And we looked throughout the scriptures to see what the scriptures had to say about this important issue. Well, Dan has really been leading the charge on this, along with some others in the evangelical community, and one of those is Dr. Joel Beakey, who has just written this new book. So Dan has been asked to do the foreword for that book, and so we'll be talking with him about that tomorrow on the broadcast. So we have Dan Kruver, Dr. Joel Beakey, and then we'll also be joined for a few minutes during the broadcast by Dr. Russell Moore. And Dr. Moore, of course, is with the Henry Institute. He's also with the Southern Baptist Seminary, and so he will be with us to talk about adoption as well. He has a book that is pending coming out about this subject or some aspect of this subject. And so all three of them will be joining me on tomorrow's broadcast to talk about the subject of adoption. And I just want to make sure you're aware of that, not to, you may be an adopted parent yourself. You may be adopted yourself. You may just be interested in this subject. I often say when I speak to Dan about these issues that the subject of adoption, the theological aspect of it, really has not received much airtime in the Christian community. In other words, you know, people just kind of lump it in with conversion. They lump it in with justification. You know, they really don't look at the subject of adoption as a separate doctrine in the Scriptures. It really has not received much study time in that sense. And so on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll have an opportunity to look at that a little bit closer and to do that with all of these fine folks on the broadcast with me tomorrow. So, again, just be looking forward to that. Got some great interviews lined up. That's the first of them. And next week, got a couple more lined up. And then in the future here, got a couple really interesting ones that have been working out for a little while, and I think you're going to appreciate all of these interviews. Wanted to mention here what we're going to do on today's broadcast as well. We're going to be speaking in a few minutes with author and well-known internet blogger Timmy Brisker. He was going to be with us, but I should say Tim Challies is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. Tim has been, right now he is actually at the Banner for Truth Ministers Conference that is taking place in Harrisburg, PA, and the conference is being held on the campus of Messiah College. Some of the speakers included there that the conference is hosting there includes Ian Murray, Rick Phillips, who was just with us here in the studio just a week or two ago, Ian Hamilton, David Troxell, and David Campbell are all speaking there. And so Tim is taking a little bit of a few minutes out away from the conference to join us via the phone on the second half of the broadcast. And so we're going to naturally ask him to give us a little bit of an update as to what has been preached thus far at this ministers' conference. Of course, Banner of Truth, you know, has just been the leader on Reformed conferences for, you know, long before other folks were doing this, before there were these other Reformed conferences. Right at the very beginning, there was Banner of Truth doing these regional conferences. And so anyway, so he's going to be giving us an update of what he's heard so far. I think Ian Murray has spoken already. Rick Phillips, I think, is speaking early this morning. And so he'll be able to give us a little bit of an update on some of those topics. But the main reason why we're having Tim on the program today is we wanted to talk with him about a PDF download of a booklet that he has written and providing for free on his website. I hope you take advantage of it. I put a link to that PDF download on our website, and that download is a reader's review of the book, The Shack. Now, I don't know how much you know about The Shack. I'm going to give a little bit of a brief introduction to that before Tim comes on the broadcast, but let me just say this. It's a very popular book in our culture today. It's sold well over 1 million copies. It is also, I think it reached 7 or 8 on the, one of the lists, you know, USA Today list or the Amazon.com list. You know, it's sold very well. That's the bottom line to the whole point. And so why this book is interesting is it is receiving decidedly mixed reviews in the Christian community. There are some Christians who are speaking very highly of it. For instance, Eugene Patterson, who's the professor emeritus of spiritual theology at Regent College in Vancouver, says that this book has the potential to do for our generation what John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress did for his. Now, that's a huge endorsement. You know that at one time, the Bible and Bunyan's Progress, you know, were almost sold hand in hand. Not that Bunyan's Progress is inspired or anything along that line, but it was just so well written and it was so biblical in its approach that people found such tremendous encouragement from it. You know, of course, the tinker there, John Bunyan, writing that book while he was in prison, and just great spiritual insight. So this professor, retired professor from Regent College, making this type of comparison to The Shack is, you know, just over the top saying what this book is. Now, compare that with Dr. Al Mohler, who's the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He says this book includes undiluted heresy. And so you can see the comparison there. Let me give you another comparison with a couple people of what they're saying. Here's another one. The well-known singer, contemporary Christian singer, Michael W. Smith, says that this book, let me see, The Shack Will Leave You Craving for the Presence of God. And then on the comparison side of that, Mark Driscoll, pastor out there at Mars Hills Church in Seattle, says, regarding the Trinity, this book is actually heretical. And so you can see that people within the broad scope of the evangelical Christianity, very broad scope there, but in that broad scope, you see that people are on decidedly different sides of what this book is. And so we really need to take a good look at it. What does it say? What does it say when we compare it to scriptures, to find out what this book is really all about? And we're going to do that in the second half of the broadcast. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'll tell you some more.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Polls show that most Christians pursue their workaday lives disconnected from their faith. Many don't know how practical the Bible really is. This is Paul Dean, co-host of Calling for Truth, heard weekdays from 1 to 2 on Christian Talk 660. Join Kevin Bowling and myself as we connect the Scriptures to life. Repeatedly, Paul talked about God and who we are before Him. He talked theology, then he told the people how to live. He connected the dots. We should know what to do and why. Calling for Truth, connecting the dots between faith and living. CallingForTruth.org.
In 1994, Southern Stone began as the first manufactured stone installer in the upstate. A family-owned business now with two generations involved, their team has over 55 years of experience serving the Carolinas with both natural and manufactured stone, as well as many other related products and services. Allow Southern Stone to assist you in making your dream home a reality. Call toll-free 1-800-288-5587. That's 800-288-5587.
You'd be surprised at how many women are heartbroken in their marriages. It might be that you are one of these women. You may simply have some unbiblical expectations, or the issue may be deeper. Hi, this is Jane Johnson with the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling. Call us for encouragement. Call us for direction from God's Word. Call us, the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling, at 864-420-2688.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a low down payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B, Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
Hey kids, Hidden Treasure Vacation Bible School will soon be here. Dr. Indiana Jowers is diligently deciphering the map that will lead to the discovery of the greatest treasure man has ever known. And listen, children of the Easley-Powdersville area, you've been selected to receive a special invitation to view and follow this sacred map with the help of our trusted guides. So come join Mount Moriah Baptist Church June 22nd through 26th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Call 269-7244 to register.
Paul, anyone who knows you love pizza.
Isaac, I do indeed, and whenever I'm out at the Woodruff Road area, I go to Stevie B's. It's the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Now listen, this buffet goes all day long. They're open till 9 o'clock in the evening. They've got over 70 different kinds of pizza. 12 pizzas are out all the time. Listen, when you walk in, the folks are friendly. They'll make you a fresh pizza. They'll make you one at your request. I love it.
Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Calling for Truth radio program. We're going to be speaking in just a few minutes with well-known internet blogger Tim Challies. Tim just does an excellent job out on his blog. He actually has a couple of blogs out there, Discerning Reader, in which he reviews a number of books. And so as you go into a Christian bookstore or you hear somebody talking about a Christian book, and books aren't cheap. They're pretty expensive these days as well. And, you may want to find out a little bit about those books before you just go in there and pick it up. And there's a number of things that are written that have a Christian label on them that once you get started in it, you're going to say to yourself, I'm not so sure I agree with some of the things that are being said in this book. And so Tim really does a wonderful service for the body of Christ by doing really good reader reviews of a number of different books out on his website. That website, Discerning Reader, I think it's discerningreader.com. I'll check that out for you here in just a minute. But he also has Challies.com. That's spelled Challies. That's www.challies.com. And out there he talks about, just like typical blogs do, a number of different subjects. And so one of the subjects that he spoke about out there, which relate to both of his websites, was this book called The Shack. And as I mentioned in the opening, in the introduction, that there's a lot of mixed reviews out there about this book and whether or not this book, is of any worth in the Christian community at all. I think I mentioned that Dr. R. Moeller said that it includes heresy in the book. Somebody out on Tim Challies' blog commenting on the phrase that Michael W. Smith said about the book. He said, "The Shack will leave you craving for the presence of God." One of the comments out on Tim Challies' blog, the person out there, Ray, wrote, "It'll leave you craving because you won't find any of it in the pages of the book." So, there are people that are really, and it seems, very polarizing book, either on one end of the spectrum or the other. I happen to agree with the view that this book is heretical in nature. Now, it's a fictional book, and we're going to talk about that, understanding that it's fictional and trying to be charitable in the critique of this book and not just, going to slam the author. We'll talk a little bit about that with Tim here just in a few moments. But I just want to make you aware of what we're going to be looking at and talking about at the second half of the broadcast. Now, if you've read The Shack, obviously, this program would be of special interest to you. If you've heard somebody talking about it, when you're talking about a million copies of this book being sold, this is going to be a water cooler topic in the place that you work, or you're going to hear somebody refer to it in the grocery store or various conversations that you get into. And so when books like this reach this level, the reason why I think it's important that we look at them is somebody's going to ask you about it. What do you think about The Shack? Or you're going to hear somebody make some reference to it. And so I think that it is very, very important for us to be, up to date and understand at least what the argument is about the book. I'm not saying you got to go out and buy one. You can read the opening chapter of it for free out here on the internet. If you just Google The Shack and then go out there and read it, you'll go out to that website, you'll see that it says you can read the table of contents, the front and back cover, the first chapter, and those types of things. See, I recommend you do that rather than go spend your money on it. And once you see that first chapter, it'll give you enough information to know, whether or not this is something that you really want to spend money on. I think after our discussion with Tim today, you'll realize that as well. I wanted to make you aware of one thing that somebody sent to me before we switch gears again to go back to our discussion about The Shack. But somebody has sent me an article about Subway bans homeschooled kids from an essay contest. I don't know if you heard about this, but it was dated yesterday, and apparently this came out over the weekend, and so they're thinking that there's going to be a lot bigger backlash to this than has been thus far. But let me read a little bit of this to you, and it was of interest to me because I've been asked actually this Friday to speak at the commencement service for a homeschool co-op group here in the Greenville, South Carolina area. And so we've homeschooled our children for a number of years and afterwards then put them in a private school for a number of years as well. They're all grown now and in college or graduated from college. And so we're beyond that point now. But, you know, so I was a real fan of homeschooling. I think that it worked out really well for us. I really commend a lot of parents that are doing that. And so, you know, I saw this article and somebody sent it to me specifically, so I want to mention it here. But it says this: Subway, a multinational fast food sub shop giant, has shot themselves in the foot again. The goal of their latest promotion was to win the loyalty of parents of grade age kids to increase market share, revenue, and profits. It was supposed to be a simple exercise in business marketing and promotion. The outcome, however, was far different. By banning homeschooled kids and children who are educated at home as an alternative to public schooling, Subway has ignited a firestorm of opposition from a vocal segment of the marketplace. Homeschoolers offended by the ban spontaneously and almost literally overnight organized a national Subway boycott that already has Subway's corporate spokesman hunkering down. All of this happened over the holiday weekend, a time when people usually have better things to do. Imagine the impact today when millions of homeschool parents are back in front of their computers and discover what Subway has done to them. American currently has something on the order of 3 million children being homeschooled. Those children represent an adult purchasing population, including grandparents and parents of well over 5 million, often affluent people. Homeschooling parents are frequently supported by local churches. And so it gives this segment here in this article as to how much of an economic impact this could have on Subway. Here's what it says, though. Subway, by this careless or intentional ban on homeschooled children, could have easily offended 10 million American adults. Oops. It says this, but how did Subway get into this mess? Subway's Every Sandwich Tells a Story essay contest, conducted in cooperation with the Quickly Repentant Scholastic News Service, which sells strongly into the homeschool market and which immediately and publicly apologized when the issue came to their attention, specifically bans homeschooled kids from the contest. This remarkably poorly spelled rules read this way. It says, no purchase necessary to enter or win. Contest is open to legal residents of the United States who are currently over the age of 18 and have children who attended elementary, private, or parochial schools that serve grades pre-K through sixth grade. No homeschools will be accepted, it says on the list here. No homeschools will be accepted. And so it says that part of the reason, I think, why they did this, you know, although by saying this, you know, they specifically banned homeschoolers from being on there. But I think part of the reason, if you look into it a little bit further, you find that the grand prize for this event was that the schools that needed personal equipment or computer equipment of some sort or that was going to be given away as part of the grand prize. And so they didn't want to be giving the equipment to homes, but they wanted to be giving it to school systems. And so apparently that's where the confusion came in. But anyways, you know, this is the second time that they have done something like this, and they just seem to have a little bit of a problem when you specifically say that a certain segment of the society, especially something like this, homeschoolers can't participate. I think they're just setting themselves up for a fall. I just want to bring that to your attention because it is burning up some of the blogs that are out there, and I just thought you'd be interested in following that story. We're going to go ahead and take a very quick commercial break, and when we come back from that break, we're going to get to our main story today. Tim Challies will be with us on the line at that time, and we'll be talking about an update from Tim as to what's taking place right now at the Banner of Truth conference that he's attending, the Minister's Conference, and then we'll be switching in our discussion to talk about this very popular yet disturbing book, The Shack. And we'll look at Tim's evaluation of that book when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
More and more people are discovering Christian Talk 660 for the first time. If you're new to our station, welcome. We invite you to log on to our website, ChristianTalk660.com. While you're there, check out our program guide, take our online poll, listen to your favorite Christian Talk 660 Bible teacher or talk show host. And the best part is, it's free. ChristianTalk660.com. One more way that Christian Talk 660 is connecting with our community.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
In 1994, Southern Stone began as the first manufactured stone installer in the upstate. A family-owned business, now with two generations involved, their team has over 55 years of experience serving the Carolinas with both natural and manufactured stone, as well as many other related products and services. Allow Southern Stone to assist you in making your dream home a reality. Call toll-free 1-800-288-5587. That's 800-288-5587.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a low-down payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B, Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
Bottles of pills and no relief. Are these medicines making you well or sick? Are they just covering up your symptoms or causing new problems? Hello, I'm Carmen Hamilton. Join Dr. Izquierdo and myself on Christian Talk 660 for Live Well, your chiropractic magazine on the airwaves. Hear stories of hope from Dr. Manuel Izquierdo, how specific chiropractic care can be a new way to live well.
It's been said, as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we want to see real change in our world, the church must be awakened and equipped to make a difference. This is Paul Dean with Calling for Truth. The things you've heard us talk about on the radio can be brought to your church. A seminar dealing with theology, cultural engagement, Christian worldview, biblical counseling, or even church reform might be the complement to your ministry you've been praying for. Call us to set something up at 420-2688.
Hey kids, Hidden Treasure Vacation Bible School will soon be here. Dr. Indiana Jowers is diligently deciphering the map that will lead to the discovery of the greatest treasure man has ever known. And listen, children of the Easley-Powdersville area, you've been selected to receive a special invitation to view and follow this sacred map with the help of our trusted guides. So come join Mount Moriah Baptist Church June 22nd through 26th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Call 269-7244 to register.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Calling for Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. I forgot to make an announcement a little bit earlier. A week or so ago, I interviewed the director and writer for the Modern Parables. And so I mentioned during that broadcast that we are starting to show those Modern Parables in our youth group at church. If you're interested, and if you have a young person, or you just would like a young person to come and join us as we read through and study six of the parables of Christ using the Modern Parables, you're certainly welcome to do that. If you're interested, just send me an email at kevin@callingfortruth.org. That's kevin@callingfortruth.org if you live right here in the Greenville, South Carolina area. And we'll be sure to get you all the information about how your young person can participate in studying these six parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now back to our topic for today. I think we have Tim Challies on the line. And we're going to talk to Tim about, first, a very brief update of the conference that he's at, and then switch to his review of the book, The Shack. Tim, are you with us today?
I'm here.
Hey, thanks for taking the time out of that conference to call us today. Really appreciate you doing that.
No problems at all.
Tim, how's the conference going so far? I think Rick Phillips was scheduled to speak this morning. Is that correct?
Right, yeah, I'm here in Harrisburg at the Banner of Truth Conference, and it's good. It's my first experience at Banner of Truth. It's a ministry I love, a publisher I love, so I'm glad to be here to take in the conference.
Excellent, and just to tell people, you're blogging from there, and so if you want to read more about Tim's views of what's happening at the conference, you can do that out of his website, www.challies.com. Tim, I was interested in talking with you today to give us a little bit of a synopsis of this little booklet that you put together. By the way, I thought it was excellent. I guess you have done this for other books as well, and I hope you continue to do this because it's such a great service for the Christian community. But let's talk about this book, The Shack, if you would please. Give us a little bit of introduction to it, and then we can start right in and see how far we get here today.
Sure, yeah. The Shack is a little book that was published by a publisher called Windblown Media. They've only published a handful of books, and this is one of them. It was written by William P. Young, and this is the only book he's ever written. And from absolute obscurity, this book has really, through a $300 marketing budget and a whole lot of word of mouth, has now sold well over a million copies, most of them to Christians, and has just been picked up by a big mainstream publisher who's going to try and take it higher and further. So it's really quite a story to see it come out of nowhere like that.
There is some talk too, I guess, some rumors about a movie deal that could be in the making as well, and so unbelievable success for, like you say, the original manuscript was copied at Kinko's and then passed around, $300 marketing budget. You know, wow, what a story.
Yeah, exactly. It's what every publisher and every author dreams of, really, yeah.
Right. But there's problems, right, because the reviews that are coming back within the Christian community itself, the very broad spectrum of the evangelical church, are very polarizing on their view of what this book is about and how accurately it reflects the doctrine of Scripture. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Why don't I give just a brief overview of the book?
Sure.
It's a story of a man named Mac McKenzie, who at the beginning of the book we find out that he's going through life carrying with him a great sadness, and as the book goes on we find out that the sadness comes from the murder of his daughter a few years before. He had been on vacation. His daughter was abducted by a serial killer who preyed on little girls, and he dragged her off to an isolated shack and killed her there. And though her body was never found, they found evidence in the shack that that's where she had been killed. So the book picks up several years later, and we find out that Mac gets a letter in the mail from God, and the letter tells him to go to this shack, and that there he should have this meeting with God. So off he goes, and he meets with God, with each of the members of the Trinity. And God the Father is portrayed as, his name is Papa in the book, and he or she is a large African-American, very stereotypical kind of African-American woman. Jesus is a middle-aged Jewish carpenter, and then The Holy Spirit is played by a kind of eclectic Asian woman named Sarayu.
Hmm.
And over the course of a weekend at the shack, he just has conversations with each of these people and with each of these members of the Godhead, and they kind of deconstruct his theology and put it back together.
Hmm. Now, all of these characters, obviously, let's just talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, this was designed to be fiction, and, you know, we understand that. But a lot of people aren't taking it as fiction, right? I mean, the author himself talks about how, you know, this story has changed his life. People that are reading it, you know, are all of the, 500 reviews or so that were out on the one site, you know, are saying that this concept of God has really changed their life. So people aren't quite taking it in this fictional realm. Is that fair?
Right. The book is fiction. The author makes it pretty clear that it is a fictional tale. At the same time, though it's fiction, it's used to communicate what he believes to be fact about God and about the Christian life. Just as Jesus spoke in parables, he didn't expect us to believe that these parables actually happened, that there actually was a Good Samaritan, yet he used that fictional story to communicate real truth. And in that way, William Young has done the same thing, and obviously has done it quite effectively in the way it's impacting people. If you read the reviews just at Amazon, where, as you said, there's over 500 reviews there already, you'll read things like, "Never will I look at the Trinity in the same way again. I've entered the shack, I'll never be the same."
Mm-hmm.
Or, the book has changed me, or rather I should say that God has used this book to alter my thinking as to who he is and who I am in his eyes. So you find these glowing reviews that show that the book really is changing the way people think.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, normally we would say with a Christian book, you know, well, that's a good thing. But the problem here is that the theology of the book is, you know, disturbing when it's compared with what the scripture has to say about these subjects. Is that accurate, you'd say?
Right, there's certainly aspects of the theology in the book that are troubling, and if you go reading, you'll find men like Al Mohler or Mark Driscoll, both of them have said that it's outright heretical.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not using that word heresy lightly. They're using it as the church has understood it as a very serious thing. It's something that cuts right to the foundational theology of the Christian faith. They're not using it as flippantly as a lot of people do these days.
Right. Well, let's delve right in then to some of the problematic areas of this popular book. You bring out in your review the idea of subversion, that there is this undermining of the faith, and by that I should say the historic Orthodox Christian faith. There's this undermining of that throughout the book on a number of different issues. Let's expound upon that, if you would, please.
Sure, yeah. As the reader goes through the book, he'll notice, if he's looking out for it anyways, that the author is really undermining a lot of what we might consider normal or traditional Christianity. As he goes through, he uses the Bible, he uses Sunday school, he uses seminary training. He writes about these things, and every time he writes about them, it's in a negative or a disparaging way. So when he talks about the Bible, he says that God's voice had been reduced to paper, and even that paper had to be moderated and deciphered by the proper authorities and intellects. Well, go look in the Bible and tell me if God says there that this is somehow his word reduced to paper, as if this is the best God could do. You know, there's nothing reductionistic about Scripture. Or, you know, he'll talk about church being a place you go to stare at the back of the heads of people you don't know, and rather than, you know, really celebrating what it is. So,
mm-hmm.
So there's this kind of dangerous, subversive thread throughout the book where it's very easy to take apart Christianity as we know it.
Mm-hmm. Another one that you point out in there is the word Christian. You know, as a descriptor, it says, I guess, quoting from the book, "Who said anything about being a Christian? I'm not a Christian," said Jesus in the book. And so, you know, like you're saying, it just is constantly looking at these key terms associated with historic Christian faith in a derogatory manner and slowly chipping away on all of these things that, you know, Christians hold near and dear because of our understanding of the things of God. Here's another aspect that you point out in this booklet that I'd like you to expound upon a little bit, if you would, the subject of revelation, just how we can know God.
Right. And as we go through the Bible, we find it pretty clearly that Adam and Eve had direct communication with God. He talked and he walked with them in the garden. And since their fall into sin, revelation to human beings has always been mediated revelation. Mm-hmm. Yet in this book, we find that we can and should expect that God will communicate with us directly. And that's certainly what happened with this character, Mac, is he visited God. He didn't have to go through a mediator to approach the Father. He walked right up to the Father and looked her or him or whatever you could say in the face and spoke to him. And that's not something you're going to find in the Bible. That's certainly in my view, that's making much of yourself and making little of God, that you could stand in the presence of a holy God and address him like a friend or address him like a peer.
Mm. It's interesting. I need to let people know, too, when you say him or her, what you're referring to is in the beginning of the shack, God the Father is a, like you said, pictured as an African-American woman, but then towards the end actually morphs into a man with a ponytail because the Mac has trouble seeing him, her as authoritative or something along that line.
As a father figure.
As
yeah,
a father
he's
figure,
a father
right.
figure at the end of the book. So God morphs into this sort of middle-aged man.
Mm. And so this idea of revelation, like you said, you know, this directly approaching God, every time we see somebody, and by the way, these are the holiest people upon the face of the earth at the time, meeting with God, we find, you know, that they don't approach him as flippantly as we see this being done here in the book. For instance, Isaiah, you know, here was a prophet of God, and of course we're told about him in his vision, and he says, woe is me, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. We find John on the Isle of Patmos, falls over as a dead man. Moses, of course, in his relationship up on Mount Sinai before the Lord. None of these folks in a flippant manner or any sort of direct relationship with God outside of Christ do we find ever in the Scripture. So that's an excellent point that you bring out. Let me, any more on the revelation point, or maybe it'd be best to move on to the idea of salvation in the book and what it
sure,
has to
yeah.
say there.
Yeah, in terms of salvation, you know, he never gets around quite to the gospel as we understand it. There's nothing in the book that would really explain what Jesus did on the cross, and certainly nothing that would explain that on the cross Jesus suffered because he had to face the punishment that God was inflicting on him, that our sin had brought about God's wrath, and that is what Jesus suffered on the cross. He does talk about the cross being reconciliation, but he never really explains that. And so someone could easily walk away from this book having read it and having wept at it, but never really understanding what the cross was for. And the author also leaves wide open the door to some kind of universalism, that everybody is saved regardless of what they believe. For example, in the book, Jesus says, I am the best way to the Father. Well, you know, in Scripture he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In this book he says, I'm the best way, which seems to make it, seems to leave the door open to other ways to the Father. Whether or not the author actually believes that, he certainly opens the door.
Yeah, you mentioned in your review here, we're left with an incomplete gospel, a gospel message that says little about sin and justice. It is a gospel message that says nothing about how we might be saved from the sin that pollutes us. And so even though this is written as a fiction, a fictional story, you know, these types of big theological concepts that are covered in the book, are it's sloppy at best in the way that they're handled, subversive at worst, I guess, you know, to use your term here in the review. You know, this can be very damaging when you're talking to people about God and you're making these types of statements. And so I think, you know, we've got good reason for looking at this with a jaundiced eye, with a critical eye, and discerning as to what this says. You feel the same?
Yeah, I quite agree. You know, this isn't the worst book you're ever going to read in your life, and it's not a book that that has nothing but error in it. But it does have enough error, and serious enough error, that I think you need to really question what you're learning from it as you read it. If you're crying at the end, if you're moved by it, if you understand God differently, I think you really need to step back for a minute and remove yourself from the emotion and just ask yourself what's going on. If you read reviews of the book, you see people speaking not of God the Father, but of Papa, and not of the Holy Spirit, but of Sarayu. So people are really internalizing much of what the author teaches and letting it affect their vision of God, their understanding of God. And if he is teaching things that are wrong about God, then people are internalizing that and they're worshiping God in a way that's inaccurate.
Probably the most damaging of doctrine